Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 406, Already Victors, first in a new series called The Good Fight. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, January 26th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I like series because the Lord gives me series to preach, topics, themes, and I've had this one quite some time rolling around. I think I've said a few times to Pastor Harley, yeah, I'm going to do that one. Yeah, I'm going to do that one. And it just, nope, not right. Nope, not right. Guess what? Today's the day. Today we launch a new series. It's called The Good Fight. The Good Fight. What is that all about? The Good Fight. Let me tell you a little bit. If you're watching or listening to the podcast, I'm putting on some Everlast boxing gloves. I guess I'll just stick with one because I've got the handheld today. So the good fight. Boom, boom. We're going to fight. We're going to take somebody out, those who are messing with us, right? Or not. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Maybe I should use a different method. I know. Somebody's messing with me. I about took off Sister Pam's head trying this earlier this morning. She was sitting back there at the sound where she is, and this thing goes far, and it hit right next to her on the wall, right next to her. I was like, Santos was like, yeah, I told you, you need to shoot the floor. I'm like, right, okay. So if anybody starts getting sleepy, I'll just, wait, I got to do this. Yeah, my son told me, gave me instructions, but it bounces and everything. Okay, Kason, you can collect those for me for, you know what, maybe just load it up for me, just make sure that nobody falls asleep. Load it up, okay? All right. He's got so many of those Nerf guns. Oh my gosh. They are fun. No, we're going to talk about a different kind a fight, different weapons that we fight with. You know, Paul encouraged Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. He talked about the good fight. He said, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. So we're going to talk about this good fight of faith. The good fight of faith, I believe, it has to do with lining up to the word of God, right? Because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith, right? It's in the spirit realm. It's what we get from the word of God. So we must cling to the word of God. We must stand on it. And, you know, I believe that a good fight is one that you win, right? We all want to win. Amen. Okay. We can overcome and we can win because of all that we have been given through Christ Jesus, right? There are trials, there are difficulties, there are struggles in life. Some of the fight, I was thinking about this as I was putting this together, you know, where does our fight come from? And we're really quick to say the enemy. The devil, the defeated one. And it's true. And we're going to talk about that. But there's another source maybe of the fight that we skip over a lot of times. It's our own flesh. And we like to blame a lot of things on the devil. He gets probably too much credit because sometimes it's our own flesh. And the struggle that we're having is actually within ourselves, within our flesh, our old nature, right, that has been crucified in Christ Jesus. And some also comes from the world, some of the fight that we have, the mindset that tries to program us and get us into different thinking than what the word of God says, right? And so fighting the good fight of faith, it's lining up to the word of God, staying there and fighting in the spirit realm with his word in faith. Amen? Amen. It's true, you know, that some of the struggle, some of the fight, it comes from our adversary. It's the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says that it comes from our adversary, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Let's not be the ones that he can devour, because when we're fighting the good fight of faith, then we're standing firm. Amen? Okay, we're together. Okay, some people think, you know, there's this mentality of that everything that happens is God's will. And that gets us into a very passive mindset of like, oh, well, it is what it is. And so, you know, so be it. There's all these phrases. But that's not true. That's not true that everything that just happens, you know, it makes us settle for less than God's best, less than his abundant life that he sent Jesus to the cross to die for us. And we just go, oh, well, I guess it's God's will that I have this sickness. I guess it's God's will that I, you know, got in a car accident or, you know, whatever. Whatever the thing is. You know, what about the verse 2 Peter 3:9 that says, God is not willing that any should perish, but everyone come to repentance. Well, is that happening? That everyone is coming to repentance before they die? No. And God doesn't want them to perish. Right? So that verse right there kind of disproves that not everything that God has his best, or he wants the best for us. He doesn't want us to perish, but not everything that is God's best is happening. And so we can't take this laissez-faire, oh, well, it's just God's will. That puts us as a defeated church, then we'll be a sick church. We'll be an impoverished church because, oh, I guess it's God's will that this and that and the other thing, because of my bad choices, because of spiritual attack, all of this goes unnoticed. And well, you know, God gets, like, God's sovereignty gets blamed for a lot of things. And so let's be on the side of the good fight of faith. So this series is, we're going to cover a lot of different things in a few messages. How to fight the right enemy. Who is the right enemy? We talked about some of these things with the women yesterday in the women's retreat. It was awesome. We have to know the weapons that we have to fight with. We have been equipped. The Lord has equipped us, and some of our weapons are just laying there on a hook or hanging there on a hook, and we're not using them. We're not taking up the weapons that he's given us. Not these things, not these weapons to fight with or armor, but spiritual armor, spiritual equipment that we have been given. We need to use it. So, also, we're going to talk about some of the enemies, the defeated ones, strategies that he uses to stop us, strategies for us to overcome. It's important, like they said at the beginning of the War Room movie yesterday, to know your enemy and know what his strategy is. It's not that we're worshiping him, but we're looking at what is the enemy? What is his plan of attack? What are his tactics? What are his schemes? Because he's not a creative one, and he just kind of repeats and recycles those same things over again. So we can be get ourselves prepared in knowing how he will attack and be prepared to overcome those so that we don't have showstoppers along the way that take us out of the fight, because we are more than conquerors. That's what the word says. And so we want to, you know, this series is to just make us raise our head a little taller, know who we are in Christ, know who the authority that we have in Christ. And that brings us to the topic today. Is the message is already victors. We are already victorious. This is so important for us to get revelation, because sometimes when we're in the middle of a struggle, a difficulty, we're like, we feel defeated. Whenever we put our feelings first, it's not a good thing. Because I used to say about the roller coaster, the feelings go up and down and I end up with whiplash, and that's no fun because you're like all over the place. And we need to have our spirit, the Spirit of God, leading us, right? The emotions, they'll follow behind. We tell them what's up. We tell them by the Word of God to get in line. And so Jesus has secured our victory. He has made us victorious. Because of Jesus, we are on the winning team. But sometimes when we're in the middle of the fight, we forget that, because we don't feel like we're on the winning team. We feel like we're losing, and we're losing terribly. So, just like the pre-scripted wrestling matches, I learned a little bit about, I thought it was still called WWF. Apparently not. It is WWE for anybody that didn't know that, just like me. They pre-script these wrestling matches, right? And it's predetermined who's going to win. And so we're kind of like that. Like, God has already determined that we are the winner. We are victorious. Wouldn't it be good to be the guy that, the wrestling guy that, they set up that, hey, you're going to be the winner. I was thinking, what about the poor one that knows he's already going to be the loser? Like, why would they still want to do it? Well, it gets their name out there, right? They get airtime, they get fame, I guess. And eventually, they're believing that they'll be the winner one day. Praise the Lord. They get paid, right? They get paid to do that, paid to lose. But we don't have to worry about that, because we are on the winning team. Praise the Lord. We are set up, predetermined that we're going to win, all because of Jesus, because he's the winner. He's the victorious one. He set it up that way. And it's so awesome, because he does the hard part. We just get to reinforce the victory that he already won for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus made a way for us. And that's kind of the first point of this, of why or how is it that we're already victorious? Main points here. Jesus made a way. He made a way for us to be victorious by triumphing over, triumphing over all of the principalities and authorities. That's a different verse that I just love, but we're going to first go to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. It says, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law." Other versions say that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. "When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith." Again, this is Galatians 3, 13 and 14. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. We had, in the Old Testament, the curse of the law was against the people. So they were punished for not measuring up to the law. That makes me really thankful for Jesus, right? He set us free from that. He redeemed me from the curse of the law. I know I've told this story that I woke up in the middle of the night and sat up in bed and yelling that out. Like, I was having church service, me and the Holy Spirit ministering to my spirit in the middle of the night. I think I had been listening to a message or something that got that seed. And so in the middle of the night, I sat up, "I've been redeemed from the curse of the law." Like, I was really getting revelation of it. It just happened to be at 3 a.m. And poor Santo's like, okay, I guess that means I have been redeemed too. Like, praise God. I have church sometimes in my bed in the middle of the night. Praise the Lord. It's good. Every one of us has been rescued or redeemed from the curse that came from the law. It's all of the things, the curse of the law is all of the things that sin and death produce. Sin leads to death, right? And so all of those things, spiritual death, being separated from Christ Jesus, demonic oppression, unrighteousness, sickness, poverty, hate, failure. Pastor Sarah, stop, because those are not pleasant words. La, 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 la. You know, it's not a nice list, those things. But Jesus has done everything necessary to set us free from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from that. And he has activated life in us. So the opposite, the reciprocals of those bad things that I just read is the new birth. It's baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's righteousness. It's healing. It's prosperity. It's love. It's success. So Jesus going to the cross for you and me activated the spirit of life in us. So now we don't have to be under the curse of the law anymore. He set us free from that. And that's a huge reason why we are already victorious, because death has no hold on us anymore. Can somebody say amen? Amen. This is good news. That's what makes us victorious, because nothing can hold me down. Death can't hold me down anymore. There's a song about that, about not being in the grave anymore. We are living. Let's really live the abundant life that Jesus paid the price for us to live. Because otherwise it's in vain that he went to the cross, right? I don't want any form of the curse of the law and sin, the result of sin, which is death. I don't want any form of that in having to, you know, be a part of myself. I shouldn't, because Jesus took all of that and redeemed me from it. When we are tempted to feel defeated from the enemy, we fight the good fight of faith. We are already victors. So don't let your emotions lead. Get into the word. That's a good one right there, Galatians 3, that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And any form of death that's trying to make you think that you're defeated when you're really not, you're victorious, but you're not feeling that way, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself and get a revelation that, hey, I'm already victorious. I might be in this situation. It might not feel good, but I'm victorious because Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. He, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly. This is like a script that we have to encourage ourselves with, and don't listen to our feelings. We go by the good fight of faith, what the word says, and we can learn to encourage ourselves and like preach ourselves happy. And we can do it. We can do it. So Colossians 2, one of my other favorite verses, there are sections. We'll just read this whole section because it's good. Colossians 2, 9 through 15. It says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ." You are complete. You might feel a different way, but you are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah. Does somebody get excited about that scripture? It's not just me, right? I think that's my favorite like passage in the whole Bible, because that just says it all right there. He did it all. He made me alive with Christ. When I was dead in my sin, he went to the cross and he made me already victorious, already a victor. He took away the charges that were against me. The wrath of God that I deserved. Jesus said, no, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take it. He nailed it to the cross. He canceled the record of charges that stood against me and nailed it to the cross and said, I'm going so that she can have abundant life. And for each of you, he did the same thing. That's why you are already victorious. No matter what the circumstances tell you, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter how your emotions may feel, you are victorious. So add that to the list of scriptures that you encourage yourself and preach yourself happy with when you need it. There's a lot of them, but that's a good place to start. Jesus took care of our fleshly nature also, it says. Right? With the circumcision, not by a physical procedure anymore, but cutting away our sinful nature. It's been done away with. It's up to us to walk in that way and turn away from sin when we are tempted, right? Or when we do sin and we mess up, to repent and turn the other direction and go the other way. But Jesus cut away our sinful nature, so we don't have to deal with it. We can make the right choice because the power of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and he will help us to make good choices. Praise the Lord. And he washes us clean when we do mess up. So even when we do mess up, hey, I'm still already a victor. Do you hear that, devil? Because his blood washed me clean, and he has forgiven me. I am forgiven. Praise the Lord. Good news. He also, we already said this, but he also took care of the devil who had legal right. We give, when we sin, when we mess up, and before we come to Jesus and receive our salvation, the devil has legal right in our lives, right? Before we give ourselves over to Jesus. Jesus took care of that for us because the wrath of God was against us. And now it's not, because Jesus said, I'll go.
My hands out like this.
I'll go on the cross for her so that she and him and all of us could have abundant life, could be forgiven and redeemed. He took care of that legal right. I'm so thankful for Jesus. Aren't you? Praise God. So when we are tempted to sin, we fight with the good fight, or we fight the good fight of faith, because we are already victorious against it. He's forgiven us. So we're not fighting to be made righteous, like, oh, I got to be good enough. Oh, I got to strive to get him to love me more. No, we've already been made righteous, right? But when we're tempted to sin, we know that Jesus lives inside of me, and he has helped me. He's equipped me, right? So we're not fighting to become righteous, but we're fighting to maintain the righteousness that Christ already won for us, that he gained for us, that he gave us. Amen? Does that make sense? Like, I'm made the righteousness in Christ Jesus. I've been made right. No more are the legal charges, the wrath of God, again, it's not against me anymore. I've been made right, so I don't need to strive. There's nothing I can do to get him to love me anymore. He loves you. You are, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been made right. You have been cleansed by his blood. And therefore, you are victorious against any sin that's trying to tempt you and hold you down. You don't have to do it. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." This is a scripture backup for what I am saying. Christ never sinned. Jesus never sinned. He was holy. He was set apart. But he became the offering for my sin, the punishment for my sin, so that I could be made right. That is such a good deal. I get the good part of that deal. Glory to God. Yes. So that's the first big justification, if you will, the first big point of why we are already victors. Even before we go into the fight, we're already victors because Jesus won it for us. He has made us right. He has put aside the charges that were against us. The wrath of God has been wiped away and we have been made right. The slate is cleared off and we start victorious because he was victorious for us. And that sets us up in a really good position. Praise God. Okay, something else. Another point number two. Jesus has given us, we talked about this yesterday, identity, who we are. We have received his identity, and it's a good one. Our fleshly, like we read before, our old self, our sinful flesh was cut away, and we got Jesus's nature, which is righteous, holy, set apart. Let's look at, I always love the passage in Ephesians to talk about identity. So Ephesians 1, and just the beginning of that, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." Every spiritual blessing. Think of all the spiritual blessings that exist. We have been blessed with every one of them. In the Greek, that means every. In the Hebrew, that's every. You can laugh. It's okay. Are we awake? It's all right. Okay. Do I need to shoot a dart? We'll shoot a dart because it's fun. At the floor. Oh, it bounced. Yep. Won't do it any. I don't want to hurt the popcorn ceiling, but I could do it up. But it would probably like ricochet and hit me in the head, and that wouldn't be good. We don't want me falling over or anything. So, he has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because of our union with Christ. Because all we had to do is say, "Yes, Jesus, I want you to be my advocate and go before me and take the wrath of God for me. Now I'm in union with him and I've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm." Wow, that's like better than Blue Light Special on aisle 10 of Walmart. That's really good. I get the really good part of that deal. Yes, I know why Paul in his letter to the Ephesians starts there with all praise to God. Yes, all praise to God because he has given us so much. That is who we are. We are rich. We are wealthy, not in the money sense, but because of who he said we are, because of our identity, that he's given us every spiritual blessing. We are loved and blessed. He did this all because he loved us so. He loved us so much. He does love us. It's a present tense as well. He made us holy and he consecrated us. And then if you keep reading, we won't read all of that in Ephesians, but that passage there in Ephesians 1 goes on to describe, and I did a message in, I think, May. You can look it up. I think the title was something about being rich in Christ or something. that we talk all about this topic of our identity, who we are in Christ. And so if you're struggling with that, meditate on this scripture. And there's so many others that say we're a royal priesthood. You know, there's so many that say who we are. And so we've got to get revelation of that on the inside so that it's not just words on a page. But then when we're really struggling and I feel like, oh, I feel like I'm a worm, or I'm, you know, I'm this, or I don't deserve X, Y, Z from God. No, God says something different. This is the truth of the word. He says from this passage in Ephesians 1, he says that I'm chosen. He says that I'm accepted. He says that I and you are redeemed. He says that you are heirs, that, you know, you've received his inheritance. You know, when somebody dies and you've been written as an heir, you receive all that they wanted to give you, right? This is, we are heirs of Christ. Wow. Wow, wow. We are included. We are stamped with the Holy Spirit. That is a lot of goodness. That is a lot of good, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And that's who he says that I am. We've got to get revelation of that, because sometimes we walk around with our heads kind of hanging low, not reflecting that that's who he says that I am. That you are the head and not at the tail. You are above and not beneath. Yes. Praise the Lord. Let's get revelation. Let's do the planting farmer whole thing that Tanya preached about a few weeks ago, about these words of identity, of who he says we are, that we are his chosen people. We are the bride of Christ. Where's that crown? Let's put on the crowns as his royal people and hold our heads high. Oh, here comes my assistant. Yeah, you can come on up with props. All right, thank you. He had that on earlier, and his dog has now become royalty also. And we are the royal family, but you are too. You all are too, because he says we're a royal priesthood. We're chosen, we're included. Yeah, I see some other crowns popping up out there. That's awesome. That's who we are, and we need to walk like it. Yes, beautiful. Princess of the Lord over there. She's modeling. Praise God. Yes, we are so loved by him. We are so special to the heart of God. He's given us so much. And that's another huge justification, if you need one, to know that you are victorious in whatever fight is coming against you, even if it's with your own flesh. Flesh, you are going to submit to the word of God. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. I will not be tempted to sin. I will not be tempted to get into unbelief about who you say that I am. I'm going to walk in your truth. And that's why we need to renew our minds to what the truth says, so that we can, when we're facing a fight, whether it's against our flesh or the world or the devil, the defeated one that would try to come against us, that he's roaming around like a lion. He's not the Lion of Judah that Sister Elizabeth pointed out yesterday, but he pretends like to be a lion, right? And so we need not fear, because we are already victorious. And the more that you get revelation of who you are, who, my crown is crooked. Some days that happens, but I, even if my crown is crooked, I am made the righteousness of Christ Jesus, that I am made right, that I am chosen, that I am loved, that I am accepted. And in anything that my flesh tries to tell me, or the devil tries to tell me, or the world tries to tell me that goes contrary to that, guess what? Back off. You're a liar. Leave, you know, go, because I've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, and I sit in a victorious place. That's it. Amen.com. It's done. It's saw. It's finished, right? Okay. Another, this is point, what are we on? Point three. Another justification, if you will, of why we are, or how is it that we can say that we are already victors, that we are already victorious. Authority. the power and authority that you have. It's not striving. I'm going to take this off because it's distracting me when it when it falls a little bit. The power and authority you have isn't striving to make something happen, but it simply comes through knowing your identity. I believe that the stronger we are in knowing who we are as God's people, as his beloved, that we will be able to stand up in our authority and be bold against the fight that's, or whatever the source of the fight is that's coming against us. We can do that. We can rise up and take our authority when we know who we are, when we know that he is behind us, Jesus. When we know our identity, that's a tongue twister, when we know our identity as a follower of Christ. It comes through you knowing and believing what the word says about who you are in Christ. So, you know, I would be amiss if I preach this sermon without doing some animal sounds. And so I'm just going to go back to this, go back to the, you know, whole illustration about the difference between two dogs, right? Between the German Shepherd and the, what's the other one? The Chihuahua, right? And so this is like a good illustration for somebody that's trying to use their power and authority, but they don't really know who they are. And they just end up sounding like, yip, 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 yip. You know, one of these yipping Chihuahua dogs that's just all bark, but no bite. And they think that they're really big and tall and they're just, and just making a whole bunch of racket and not really getting anything accomplished. I'm not a real big fan of those small yippy dogs. I'm really not. And so, you know, the German Shepherd, he knows who he is. And he can just sit there and, like, all he has to do is, like, a little like grunt or something. And, like, he knows who he is. And, you know, he's tough. And he can make a little bark or a little noise. And, like, the other dogs will back off, scare off, right? And so we need to be like those German Shepherds that know who we are. We don't have to scream and wail and yell and all this stuff. I mean, if you want to, sometimes I do that and that, okay? But it's more about on the inside, about knowing who you are. I mean, I like to get tough with the devil in my own flesh sometimes. And I say, stop. And I say it out loud because it just helps. Right. And I say it loud and that's okay. I'm not saying about the volume or anything. It's more about carrying it on the inside, about having revelation, about knowing who you are, not like the Chihuahua just trying to work it up. But really it's not there on the inside, because we can say a whole bunch of declarations and make a whole bunch of noise, but if you don't really believe it, then something's missing, and you're going to be like the Chihuahua that's just, you know, a lot of energy and effort, but not a lot of fruit comes from that. Okay, so I got the animal sounds out of the way. So here's a testimony, or just a little story I want to share with you. There was a time when I was serving in YWAM ministry, where I was leading, I would lead teams. So, you know, a team from England came and a team from, you know, South Korea came, and I would be sort of in charge of hosting them and taking them out on the streets, and we would do evangelism ministry, and I would connect them with other churches and be like their host, right? And so there was this really sweet team of maybe 5 or 6 people from England that came to stay with us, and I was hosting them, and I hooked them up with a church, and we went to this church, and we were ministering, like the English group from YWAM England was ministering to this youth group in Argentina. And the leader had made a decision that day that she thought it would be really funny to, like, play a practical joke on us, which I didn't appreciate at all. And they, I guess, had like a, I don't know, maybe some of their youth in this youth group were like on the drama team or something. So they put together this whole made up scenario. So here we are, this one of the guys on the England YWAM team was preaching, and I don't remember what the subject was, but he was sharing and he was preaching, and I was on stage because I was interpreting him from English into Spanish. And the youth group was there and sitting and, you know, receiving. And all of a sudden, this girl from the youth group comes run like stage left towards me first, and he's over here, and starts yelling and screaming and like manifesting, like, what you're saying is not true, and blah, 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 all this stuff in Spanish. And so I start translating for him because he's like, what is she saying? Like, he just knows that, you know, she's upset and something's happening. And he's like calm as a cucumber. And I'm in the middle, like translating this, like, ah, she's saying that you don't know what you're talking about and that you're not saying right. And he's like, he just said, he said, what authority do you come? With what authority are you telling me that what I'm saying is not correct? Like, this guy had it going on. This taught me something because I was caught in the middle of this. I don't like, if you know me, I don't like conflict. I don't like uncomfortable things. And this was uncomfortable. You know, this girl comes manifesting. You know, this guy is giving out of his heart. He's, you know, ministering to this group. And then we find out that the whole thing was made up. Like, they thought it would be funny to contrive this situation. No, not funny. I had to do some forgiveness there because the leader allowed that to happen. And this guy is, you know, they came to minister to your group and you're, that is just, my sister said, would say, that ain't right. That just ain't right. That is not right. Oh my gosh, I was so upset. Can you tell that maybe I'm still a little upset when I think about this? Like, what in the world were you thinking? But anyways, the whole point of me telling you this story is that this guy, he knew it on the inside. He had the German Shepherd going on the inside. She was obviously the Chihuahua, just causing a racket, yelling all this stuff. And he was just like, what authority? He didn't get flustered. The interpreter was a little flustered. But he was just like, said in English, and so I translated it back to her, you know, with what authority do you come? Like, he knew his authority because he knew his identity in Christ. He wasn't shaken by somebody, and then he found out that it was, you know, all contrived, and like, he was just like, ah, whatever, I was the upset one. But, you know, it was just cool because I learned from that guy, that young guy. He was grounded and stable, and he said, well, I come in the authority of Jesus Christ, and what I'm saying to you comes from Scripture, so I'm not, you know, take it up with God because, you know, I'm not speaking to you out of my own flesh or whatever he said. I mean, it was a beautiful, eloquent response to this fake manifestation. Man. Man, it was something. I had a lot of something kind of experiences, and that one was just really interesting. But yeah, that taught me that we've got to know who we are. We've got to know who we are, and then we can just, like he, like cool as a cucumber, we're not moved. And he said, I come in the authority of Jesus. He knew he was made right. He had nothing to fear because he knew he was speaking the word of God, and he was a child of God, and that all of heaven would back him up if this really was like a real manifestation. Amen. Amen. Yes. Okay. The authority that we've been given, you know, the common popular verse is Luke 10:19, where we talk about this, that Luke 10:19, Jesus says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Nothing will harm you. Praise the Lord. That's the authority that we've been given. We've been given it. Are we walking in it? Are we using it? Because you have to believe that in order to boldly be able to walk in your authority, to take the authority up that we have been given, and to choose that, to activate that in our lives. Praise the Lord. I know I've maybe shared this story also a few times, but it fits here really well, that when I was in transition and coming home, when I had come home from living as a missionary in Argentina, I had some heart things that I was working through, and I was kind of going through a restoration time, and I started having a series of nightmares, and each one got intensively like worse or severe, and it was like, this has to stop. And I had just started coming here to my father's house and learning about taking up my authority and, you know, not settling for things that were happening in my life. And so after I think the second or third series of these nightmares, and it was about one issue that I was getting, you know, restoration from, the Lord just sped it all up, and he said, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you how to use James 4:7. And that verse is, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He said, I'm going to teach you this verse and how to apply this with this nightmare situation, basically. And so he said, okay, read that. Read the first part. Submit to God. And he said, okay, go ahead and do that. What do you know what that means to submit to God? And that just means, God, I give all of myself to you. I forgive. The nightmares were about a relationship that had been terminated, right? And so I forgive this person again. I ask your forgiveness in any of, you know, I got right with God. If there was anything that the Holy Spirit needed to check me on, that my heart wasn't right, I got right with God. And that's what submitting to God means, right? And so I just prayed that out, like, God, I ask your forgiveness. I forgive this person again. I thought I already had, but, you know, obviously these dreams are still being allowed. There's something going on here. And so I just submit to you and blah, you know, and it was like, okay, I think I'm done. He's like, yeah, you're done. Read the next part. Okay. James 4:7, submit to God. Okay. Check. Did that part. Resist the devil. Have at it. Resist the devil. Devil, I come against you in the name of Jesus. These tormenting dreams have to stop in the name of Jesus. I am washed clean. The blood of Jesus covers me. I have forgiven this person. I have asked forgiveness of the part that was my responsibility that I messed up. I'm clean. And so, devil, you have to back up. And I don't mean maybe. That's what I was learning at this time from Pastor Harley, and he would say it like that. And I don't mean maybe. Showing you the door, right? And so you can get a little Chihuahua style with this if that's your style and it helps. But have the German Shepherd on the inside, that you're doing it because you know who you are in Christ. And so that's what I did. And he was like, okay, that's good. Read the third part. This is the result. This is what you're going to experience. The devil will flee from you. Amen. And guess what? Those dreams never came back. They left after that because I got serious and I grew up a little bit in who I am in Christ and taking my authority and said, no, these dreams are not going to keep tormenting me. And you can do that with anything in your life that is not pleasant, that is not walking in, you know, anything that is not walking in the blessing of God. If it's causing you lack of peace and torment and anything that wouldn't line up to the word of God, then you have the authority to kick it out, to tell it to go. Amen. In Jesus' name, we can do that. We can be bold because he has made us victorious. We can overcome. Praise the Lord. We don't have to settle with adverse, difficult, whatever circumstances that come our way. We've already been made victorious through Christ Jesus. We just need to remember who we are in Christ and the authority that he has given us. We can walk in victory when we reinforce the victory that he achieved for us. I'm going to say that again. We can walk in victory and experience the manifested victory of Jesus when we reinforce the victory that Jesus already won for us on the cross. And so let's do that, church. Yes, let's do that. We can do that. We might you know, feel like our crown is a little crooked one day, or, you know, wake up and our hairs are crossed or whatever. But you know what? It's not about how we feel. It's about what the Word of God says and who we are in Christ, the authority we have, and we are already victorious. Hallelujah. So let me conclude. This is a good, awesome verse. Add it to the list to encourage yourself. 1 John 5, verse 4. For every child of God. Are you a child of God? Okay, then every, there's that word again. In the Greek, every. For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. We can fight the good fight of faith and win. We can have victory that overcomes the world because of our faith. It will put us over the top. It will put us victorious every time. Not just convincing ourselves that we're victorious even when we don't see it. I'm talking about manifested victory will occur, like the tormenting dreams leaving, or something going on in your body and you take authority over it and it leaves. It will manifest, that victory will manifest out in your life. Praise the Lord, because the word says every child of God, I'm just going to read it again. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. We have world overcoming faith living on the inside of us. Power. That's right. It's our faith. It's the, not confidence, but Godfidence, like confidence in God. I call Godfidence, that says, hey, flesh, hey, world, hey, devil, I'm going to be victorious, and there's nothing you can do about it. Ha, ha. Hallelujah. I don't have any more bullets. It's not in there, but just pretend I shot it, okay? Praise the Lord. Nothing he can do about it. I'm already victorious in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He lives in me. I am already victorious because Jesus overcame death. He overcame the cross, and he is victorious, and he lives in me. So therefore, I'm a victor. Hallelujah. And I can hold my head high with the crown because I am royalty. I know who I am, and it is good. Praise the Lord. Identity and authority are key. Don't forget those. Who you are in Christ. All right, why don't you stand up? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we are so thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for Jesus on the cross. You are the victorious one. You are the victor. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to the cross for us. We didn't do anything to deserve it, but because of love, you did it for us. We thank you, God, that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we have been set free from that, that we have been cleansed. Father, we are washed clean. We are forgiven. We are included. We are chosen. We are stamped with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that we've been adopted as your children. You love us so dearly. And Father, I pray for a revelation over every heart of who we are, this amazing identity that we are heirs of you, and we've inherited everything that you are. We've been made in your image. Thank you, God, for this truth coming alive on the inside of each heart, that we have your identity, that we have been made righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God, for that coming alive, that we can walk in that identity as your royal priesthood. Father God, thank you. Thank you, thank you for the authority that you trusted, that you delegated your authority to us, that we can hold our heads high knowing who we are, knowing that we're victorious, knowing that you took care of the principalities and powers, you triumphed over them at the cross. Thank you, God, that nothing will be impossible for us because we have that your world overcoming faith on the inside of us, that we are already victorious. So I lift up Everybody, under the sound of my voice, Father God, that is facing a fight or a circumstance that feels too hard or feels difficult or feels like they are winning. And I declare victory in Jesus over that thing in Jesus' name. Whether it's a something in your body, a health condition or a diagnosis, victory in the name of Jesus, because he poured out, his body was crushed and bruised, his blood was poured out so that you could experience healing, divine health in your body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that no form of death can hold us down. We are been set free. We have the spirit of life now operating, that you have reversed the curse of sin, and we go free. We are victorious in you. Thank you, God, for strength rising up, revelation rising up on the inside of each heart and life that pushes us to the victory that you have already destined for us, but that we need to believe it and we need to walk in it, because we understand who we are and the authority that we've been given, that we've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Thank you, God, and that we are seated with you in the heavenly realms. Thank you, Lord, for victory over the top for each life and each person in the mighty name of Jesus. Shiakaroto hiapa. So don't give up and don't give in. Maybe you're feeling weary about the fight and you're like, I can't do it anymore. You can do it because Jesus and the strength, the fullness of Jesus lives inside of you. So stand on his word and stand firm. Fight with the weapons that he has given you, which we'll talk about next. Sister Elizabeth is going to address next week. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We have the victory in you. In you. It's all for you. We give you praise and glory because you are the victorious one. You are the famous one. It's not about us. When we receive the victory, it's not, oh, look at me. No, it's look at Jesus. Look at what you have done. So we give you praise and glory and honor because you are the champion. You are the victorious one. Thank you, God. Just thank him. Thank him for your victory that he already won it for you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you for victory over every circumstance. The devil is under our feet in the mighty name of Jesus. Our flesh has been crucified. Our old man is no longer alive anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The world has been defeated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for strength and encouragement to each heart and life. Thank you for your peace. Your peace that passes all understanding. We thank you, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. And we bless the live stream friends. I didn't want to forget about you. We bless you there listening. Thank you, God, for each one, each heart, each life. I pray, God, that they would not stumble, that they would walk straight. I see a straight path. You're just taking steps. Keep going, taking steps on that path. You will not stumble or fall. Keep your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith, who is Jesus. Bless them over the top, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.